The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, December 11th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. Before we start, I want to do some housekeeping. One, Aaron, are we still doing our Christmas giveaway in the last week before Christmas?
I hope so, yeah.
So that means we need some gifts. If you have a business out there, mm-hmm. and want to participate and say, hey, give this away on the air. I just need to know where the business is and promote the business. Mm-hmm. But you want to give a gift that we can give out, kindly call us to the station and we'll contact you so we can arrange that. If you're not familiar with our gift giveaway, tell us what the gift giveaway is about.
So we do trivia.
Yeah.
Right? Like Bahamian focus, right? Mr. Nuri is Bahamiana. And so it is an attempt to draw us closer to the culture, but incentivize with lovely holiday treats and prizes.
Yes, so we'll have a number of prizes. We're writing one or two businesses now to solicit gifts and gift certificates. And
like today.
There's no mountain in the Bahamas.
Pardon?
Okay, there's
one
mountain.
Yeah, you can't win the prize then.
There's one mountain.
But I'm hoping is that we could get a prize. It's like a mountain of pizza.
So you know there is, there's a pizza place next door.
I mean,
And there is a river in Andres.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a river in its name.
Yeah.
Yeah, so things like that. So I just want to get that out of housekeeping, just in case you're listening. And all of our partners who participated in it before can always reach out to us, either mm-hmm. Aaron or I, and so we can collect the gift certificates and the prizes, you know, jewelry or whatever it is, so we can give it on the air.
Yeah, and possibly an opportunity for owners or representatives of companies to sit in and join us for the conversation,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Because we have trivia, the How Bahamian Are You game show.
Yeah, and we want to do it multiple days. So as soon as we get these gifts, we can actually have it for a week instead of just having it one day. So I want to do that.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's one. The other thing is I have two guests who are supposed to have come on today.
Mm-hmm.
Right, my first guest,
mm-hmm.
right, who canceled on me, would have spoken on police procedures, protocols, in terms of definitions. Like we had a scandal, an international incident, where a police officer was accused, right, senior police officer was accused by the DEA people. Right, drug smuggling or whatever it is, or what they say, conspiracy to do whatever it is, right? And I wanted to know what happens to that officer if he is a senior officer or someone who is, what do they call that word? Someone who is
interdicted?
No. You know, when vested.
Okay.
I wanted a definition of what vested is. When does that come into play? If you're vested, can you just get fired? Because mm-hmm. you know immediately the sergeant was suspended, but the senior officer, the superintendent, was not immediately fired. Something had to go through the process, and I wanted to have someone explain what that process is. If a senior person who is vested, in particular mm-hmm. the police force, what happens? What is the procedure in terms of termination, in terms of mm-hmm. suspension, whatever it is? Because, you know, we're getting all kind of new words. Like this garden leave is something brand new to us,
mm-hmm.
to the Bahamians, and a lot of people got vexed. So I wanted my guests to go into detail to explain what interdicted is, mm-hmm. to explain the various suspensions. And this person was a crisis management person.
Mm-hmm.
Right, who would have given detail on what the police force, what the defense force should be doing now in order to manage this, in quotes, crisis. So I'm hopefully that we can bring that guest back on at a different time mm-hmm. so they can go in detail on what should be happening. Because there's a number of information we still asking. And like, I did not know that the superintendent was dismissed. Like
the senior
officer.
Like senior, in terms of not just the oldest of the suspects.
Well, I don't know the age, but in terms of rank, the superintendent was accused. Apparently, he was dismissed. I didn't know when that happened, right? I didn't hear any announcement. I didn't see any publishing of this is all what happened. And I find that someone should have a duty of care to the Bahamian people to explain what is happening within this investigation, or if there are going to be an investigation, is there any new procedure at the Sir Lyndon Airport? Because we have seen on TV where this program is saying that drugs is being moved from Lyndon Pinlon Airport, right? Mm-hmm. And they said that the person didn't put it on the carrier. They're watching him in the they're watching the drugs in Nassau, right? Mm-hmm. Apparently being put on by staff members,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the person who didn't have no carry on pick up this bag, which apparently had to be put on staff members. Nobody came to us to say whether any new protocol has been levied onto the airport. Is there any internal investigation by airport security in terms of that the United States is accusing us or suggesting that something untoward is happening at the airport because of staff? What new policies, procedures, investigations took place?
Let me read briefly from this article in yesterday's Tribune. U.S. indictment involving Bahamian officers, quote, had errors, close quote, says Cooper. Deputy Prime Minister Chester Cooper said a U.S. federal indictment making explosive corruption allegations about law enforcement officers had, quote, errors, close quotes, full stop. I just want to make a quick point here that I made on my other show. I cannot understand why.
The Minister of Tourism speaking on this?
No, because the Minister of Tourism is not speaking on it. Is he?
I don't know.
They say, the article says the DPM is speaking on it.
I'm not sure if the DPM is capable to speak on this either.
Listen, we don't have a DPM.
But even that.
But why wouldn't the responsible nation
speak on it?
Speak on it. Let me continue to read from it.
Go ahead.
He did not elaborate. So you're asking that question, like what policies, what measures have been put in place. I continue to read. The indictment said police officers helped smuggle cocaine through various ports, including critical airports. Mr. Cooper said that Lyndon Pinlon International Airport complies with international security standards. He said he doesn't have specific details of what happened at the LPIA and other airports, but said those named in the indictment are, quote, not employees of the airport, close quotes, or the airport authority. See, because when you start off by saying, like when you say the DPM is speaking to the matter, you could kind of understand the statement. He said he doesn't have specific details of what happened at the LPIA and other airports. But when you realize that it's actually the minister responsible for aviation speaking, then you have to ask yourself, well, why? Why don't you have specific details?
Okay.
About what happened at LPIA and other airports. He said the indictment does not reflect on the integrity of LPIA's operations. I mean, but how?
The series, the American series, which had featured the Bahamas, people coming from the Bahamas and arresting the Bahamians. And the suggestion is there's a problem at LPA.
Because
LPIA.
If you say, and I'm going to quote again from the article, but said those named in the indictment are, quote, not employees of the airport, close quotes, or the airport authority, then surely we have a security crisis, right? Like, does it mean then that we have a security crisis if what is being alleged in the indictment is true, if what is being alleged on documented video, right, in these shows is true, then, and if what the minister responsible for aviation, pretending to be the DPM, is saying is true, then surely we have a massive security crisis at the airport where people who don't work there could possibly gain access to.
See, this is my concern. The very idea that this series, this American series about police officers, drug enforcement agencies, right? They could have said that the plane left Nassau and is on its way to New York. And they know for a fact that there's drugs on the plane coming in, and there is somebody on the plane. So that means somebody is in Nassau feeding them information, right? And if it's not Bahamian police who's feeding the information, to say we are involved in this investigation at happening at the airport, that there's a problem at the airport, but be involved in the investigation. If that is, the Bahamians are not involved in it, then that have a problem. How come foreigners are on the ground in the Bahamas can tell other foreigners who are in New York that the drugs come in and that the person who they believe is smuggling the drugs is on its way to pick up the drug bag? So to hear this report, to read this report that said there's no problem at the airport. And the series having shown 3, 4, 5 times Bahamians getting arrested, picking the bags. Mm-hmm. Something is wrong.
See, and you could understand the DPM saying that because the DPM don't have nothing to do with the airport. What a deputy prime minister has to do with the airport. But I can't tolerate that from a person who is supposed to be the minister responsible for aviation.
Yes. Finish reading up because I sent you something I want you to read also.
So you want to finish? Let me close this off quickly. Quote, LPIA and all airports in the Bahamas comply with ICAO rules, comply with the rules of TSA, comply with the rules of the Civil Aviation Authority of the Bahamas, close quotes, he said, that is Chester Cooper. Quote, suffice to say, I'm very proud of the team of Airport Authority security officers led by BK Bonamy, a decorated former policeman, close quotes, he said. He did not confirm whether the government is launching its own investigation, but emphasized the importance of corrective measures if necessary.
If necessary?
First of all, corrective measures if necessary. You long jump just now. How could he not confirm whether the government is launching its own investigation?
Because that comes under national security.
But he is the minister responsible for aviation who would have to work in conjunction or who the minister would have to work with or at least speak to advise him that an investigation is about to take place.
Okay, finish reading that. Go ahead.
Quote, the government of the Bahamas is naturally concerned with taking steps to address the issues that we've been made aware of. I said that to my mother when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
He said, quote, when we get further information of any offenses that may have occurred through any of the airports, we will learn from those lessons and, if necessary, we will make corrective steps, close quotes. A quote again, I am reasonably assured that to the best of our ability and our knowledge, we are applying the international standards for security, close quotes.
Okay.
End of article.
Thank you very much. That's on the record. Something I just sent you too. It's a press release from the Royal Bahamas Police Force dated December 5th. I missed this. I'm not sure if you saw this. And I don't remember when the superintendent nor the sergeant were and the petty officer were arrested.
I don't know
how many time transpired. But this.
Hold on. I don't know where they publish press releases because I can't find
Facebook.
Them. I can't find them on the police force website.
It's on Facebook. It ain't going to be on no website. And I also wanted to mention, before we continue, because I have one or two things I want you to delve into. The second part of the show, I said two guests. One couldn't show up. I wanted to find things. The second part of the show, I'm hoping to have a representative for this prayer vigil, that is going to happen soon. This group, it wants to speak about this prayer vigil, talking about the unfortunate deaths.
Del Moxie, 12.
And the elderly lady, senior citizen.
Verentia Butler, 72.
So hopefully they'll be able to call on the other side of the show. They just give details. So
on the vigil.
Okay, now we're going to read this press release. Again, I'm not sure how many days transpired after the incident, but apparently the Royal Bahamas Police Force issued this.
On Thursday, the 5th of December, 2024.
5th of December.
All right, it is... It's titled General Information. The Commissioner of Police wishes to inform the public that reference to the indictment of police officers in a federal court in New York, Sergeant number 2373 Prince Simonet was discharged from the Royal Bahamas Police Force in accordance with Section 21(1)(c) of the Police Act 2009 on the 2nd of December 2024. In addition, a recommendation...
Do they say what that act is? They cited a section.
Of the Police Act.
Yeah, I assume they wanted us to go and research it to find out what it is.
Yeah, Police Act 2009.
Yeah, but what does it say, the act? Did they cite the act?
No, they don't cite the act.
So that means they want me to go investigate it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you don't go look that up so I could read it?
Go ahead.
Okay, in addition, a recommendation was made for Chief Superintendent Elvis Nathaniel Curtis.
A recommendation, you said?
Right. A recommendation was made for Chief Superintendent Elvis Nathaniel Curtis to be officially discharged from the Royal Bahamas Police Force because he has ceased to become an efficient police officer.
He didn't show up for the upcoming days. Because remember, there's a special rule to have a vested police officer to be discharged. And he could be accused of a serious crime, but he have to go through the process. But if you ain't showing up to work, that's job abandonment.
Ceased to become
See, nobody explaining these things. They didn't explain this, the act, the subsection, so the Bahamian public would be aware and okay, understand. And now this has ceased to become what?
An efficient police officer, with police officer in capitals, right? So P in capital, O in capital.
What does that mean?
That's what I would like to know. But further to this, do officers know what it means?
So this is why I wanted the
specialist. I don't know what it means.
This is why I wanted the specialist to come on, former police officer, to come on and define these terms. Because someone has a duty of care to the Bahamian public and someone is negligent. Mm-hmm. In providing this duty of care to us, so we can say, okay, I see what's happening.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, finish reading that because I want to make another
just
point.
Just last sentence. Hence, his dismissal is in the best interest of the public in accordance with Regulation 42.1, Part V of the Police Service Commission Regulations.
Did it explain that?
No.
See, so that this information, which is put out to the public, right, for our benefit, does not benefit because they don't explain anything. They don't find it necessary to give the extra sentence or that screenshot that extra sentence, nor are they doing a duty of care of doing a tour and explaining to the media, explaining to the general public who they're addressing these things to. My second part, have we heard anything about the petty officer? What a petty officer name? About the petty officer, Roka, in terms of what the defense force is doing regarding him. Have you seen any statement from the Defense Force besides the initial statement that the Commonwealth gave?
No, the last statements I saw referencing the Defense Force was, I think, the Prime Minister indicating that he was preparing to go and speak to the Defense Force machinery to determine how they will determine what they will consider to be the way forward if they move forward. I don't know.
That's my point. We just do not know. And it's eroding my confidence. The same way how I have no clue what's happening with the Michael Johnson case, and they say wait till end of December. I count the days, you know. Watch what could happen December 31st, and they ain't say anything. You can hear my mouth again. But I'm patient now, because the commissioner, or I'm not sure if you call him former commissioner, the commissioner said by the end of the year. So I'm going to wait till December 31st. I'm not going to complain. And by January 1st, no, I will be off the radio. January 2nd, I think I'm back on the radio, right? I can make noise.
Man, Mr. Nuri, how much noise you can make? Because you know what I realize? You remember the road traffic amendment?
Mm-hmm.
Concerning insurance?
Yeah.
And having insurance dates?
Yeah.
And registration dates?
Yeah. You don't get no clarification. That
I mean, you think we're going to get clarification by January 1st, 2025?
But this commissioner gone, so I'm hoping the other commissioner...
I think that's a part of the problem. Is no indictment on the new commissioner. The problem isn't the new commissioner, right? Like, the problem is never the hurricane. The problem is the recovery from the hurricane. The problem is never the election, who the next party could be. It is the transition of government that's always the problem. So that critique is not an indictment on the new commissioner, but a clear observation.
This just in, I'm going to send this to you to read, because there's just an update from the Defense Force. Hold on, where Aaron Green is. Aaron Green.
Sitting right next to you, but what type of OBR that is you talking on the radio?
Kind of OBR, I know. I sent it to you, you could read from the Commodore. He just issued a statement, so you can read that. You see it?
Yeah, I'm opening it up right now.
Because like I said, I'm disappointed, man. Like I said, I want to have confidence in him. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to defend us and say, no, we competent individuals here.
Now, this was just sent to you, but the document itself...
It's dated when?
Is dated the 9th of December, 2024.
So... The 7th was Saturday, 8th was Sunday, that's Monday.
All right. You see what my phone is doing?
It's not doing...
It's not reading... I can't see the full title of the article, but the subcaption in the picture is Chief Petty Officer Darren Roka discharged following U.S. indictment. Mm-hmm. Okay, there is... And the article of a memo. The memo in the picture reads, to branch commanders and heads of departments.
Okay.
Date 6th of December 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Subject discharge. Force Chief Petty Officer Darren Alexander Roka, pay number 1927. I am directed to advise that the Honorable Minister of National Security has approved the discharge of Force Chief Petty Officer Darren Alexander Roker, pay number, I'm not going to read the pay number again, from the Royal Bahamas Defense Force with effect from Wednesday, the 4th of December, 2024, in accordance with Section 23, Defense Act, Chapter 211, and Section 205, Rule 12I, Regular Force Enlistment and Service Regulation, Chapter 211, Services No Longer Required.
So did they explain what it means, that chapter and whatever it is?
I can only imagine that last part, services no longer required, is what it means. There's no further explanation of the provisions in the picture of the memo posted in the article on Eyewitness News.
So we conclude again, job abandonment. The idea that you did not show up for the work. Therefore, you have been dismissed. Because
I hear the words that you're saying.
Yeah.
And they seem to make sense the way that they're strung together. Uh-huh. Like it's a complete sentence. Uh-huh. I understood what you were saying. Uh-huh. I just can't understand why it still ain't making sense, you know?
Nobody cares to explain. That's my thing. They don't have any
regard for us as
the Bahamian public.
You could imagine, I won't go camping, right? Mm-hmm. For the holiday. You could imagine now, I get stuck on a little key off of New Providence, and I've been typing and TikToking to let y'all know I stuck on this island. Somebody send Bashra, send a dog that used to swim at Flipper to come rescue me, and I don't show up to work. Nuri, you think they could fire me for a job abandonment, but they know I stuck in the ocean? You think that could happen?
So this text,
that was a purely hypothetical consideration.
This text is saying that you cannot be dismissed on a present allegation until you are convicted. But these people were dismissed.
And perhaps that is why we are seeing the mechanisms that were used to further the, what you call it, the firing or the termination. Yeah. The termination, right?
AWOL. Away from whatever AWOL means.
That is true. I mean, none of us, right? Like, and this is the point I'm making. You're supposed to say to me, man, green, it don't matter if I pull up the phone with you on the island talking about the plane, come save me. The fact of the matter is you're not here in front of the mic as you're contracted to be. And that is sufficient.
There's a couple other things.
Is it, right? Is it sufficient?
There are a couple other things I want to discuss as we do our Man Down Mashup Wednesday and analyze the news.
Junkanoo?
I could try and get squeezed in.
Okay.
Do you know what litigation takes effect? Did anyone tell us what's happening?
No.
See, this might get my frustration.
Mm-hmm.
So many things I should know. I know he resigned, but does he resign and he get paid for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years because he's on vacation?
Well, when does the resignation take effect?
They didn't tell us.
Right. Will he be paid out of his existing contract?
Hmm.
Right? Having resigned. These are all questions.
Yeah. And I think it's reasonable questions. But it's because they have no regard for the Bahamian public. We just don't know. We just don't know. And nobody's questioning. We're going to go to Junkanoo right now, but I just want to say to you that, you know, they suspend oppositions from the House Assembly, right? Just come in. Speaker of the House sent all of them out. All y'all suspended. All y'all suspended from being in the House.
Did they not cheer when they saw her dancing at what appeared to be a constituency meeting? Did they not show sufficient deference and respect to the holder of the crown's rule? I don't know. The PLP do odd things. Mm. They do odd things. I wouldn't matter. I wouldn't create the space for my opponents to be celebrated as heroes. I mean, like, if I were giving advice to people who don't listen to me, I would say, that's a bad move. You're already risking not having Junkanoo.
You're already on top of Junkanoo. But at this present time, I'm not sure how long they've been suspended for. But I know the Christmas.
How could they go on? How could they continue without the opposition?
They get suspended.
Representing the people suspended for what?
This is the time to debate laws now and pass all the laws that possibly with these opposition tend to always object.
See, I'm looking at this headline here in today's Guardian. In today's Guardian, Mr. Nuri, PM, our reputation unfairly tarnished. And I always ask the question, by whom? See, because I agree with you, Prime Minister, our reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Is being unfairly tarnished.
You want to go into that, or you want to wait on that on Thursday? Because you want to talk about John Canoe. You said you want to talk about John Canoe.
See,
but that's a good article. I'm angry with that. I'm supposed to be able to call on the radio.
It's your show, so I can go where you want to take it. I prepared to talk about whatever, whenever. I don't see a separation in the two conversations, you know. Right? Like this, our reputation unfairly tarnished. And the next thing you know, they're going to say that it's the government, right? The JCN people, it's the government who caused us to cancel John Canoe. But it's our reputation, Bahamian people.
You think canceling John Canoe will tarnish our reputation?
Listen, I think canceling John Canoe will have consequences unintended that have not been foreseen or forethought. I don't think they have seriously considered the implication of their actions. And I repeat what I said on my hour, which is also that the Bahamian people do not take lightly that you feel this right to use us in your negotiations against the government. And the government, in the same way that you feel a right to use us in your negotiations with the opposition, with foreign investors and foreign governments and political systems, right? That y'all need to stop using us, because at the end of the day, it is us. It is our reputation that's tarnished. Like when I went to one meeting in Guyana and I had to tell a Danish donor who thought he was going to make light of the Bahamas.
Somebody's donating Danishes? You went there. You hear me? I just took advantage of it.
So it's like, you know, but the Bahamas is selling all of its islands. Like, you know, like, what are you doing? What's sovereignty about? And I explained to him, you know, very slowly and calmly that I found that in practice it's very difficult to pack an island up and send it through customs.
No, you can't move the island. Let's go to this caller. I want to stay on this topic about our reputation is unfairly at being tarnished, because I want to understand what that is. And we can have it juxtaposed to John Canoe.
I mean, you could see, the thing is, you could juxtapose it to almost every story in the paper today. $185 million deficit in first quarter of fiscal year. Somebody has been somebody that is the ignorant, unwillful Bahamian people that causing us to waste all this money.
Let's go to this caller there. Producer, patch the caller through. Let me see what they want to talk about. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. You're on live.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning.
You know, there's a multiplicity of things, but quickly, John Canoe is bigger than me, you, them, they, thus, him, her, whatever, right? So, I mean, let's get it together. But I wanted to touch on two things, since there's the information overload, misinformation, disinformation, right? And there never seems to be a attempt for duty of care, and with the status quo not always being upheld and forbidden or suppressed, right? I think it's high time that people clear up things that are circulating on social media. So, you know, I'm not talking about the statement with the U.S. Embassy, but as it relates to a senior police officer, a top brass visiting Mr. Curtis in the States, right? And there's a story. So can that be cleared up? Because in the underworld, you don't allow to see one another. So I don't know what the difference is. And people coming on and giving statements like being presuppositional and making preemptive statements while, you know, things are being adjudicated at home or abroad. And that's where the status quo have the advantage. The criminal doesn't have the advantage to do that. When you're charged or you're suspected, that's it. But but really and truly, what I wanted to touch on was maybe there should be some clarity as to what Mr. Chester Cooper is saying in his statement that I find it very peculiar that the media didn't expound on that. As it relates to what he was saying, as he said that the officers, that there's errors in the indictment, et cetera, but he didn't elaborate or edify or try to explain it. Then
I assume errors means the DEA. That's DEA.
No, but I mean, he's talking about compliance, that we are in compliance with international standards at the airport. But that has nothing to do with what is being alleged. I mean, I was wondering if he's very naive. This always appears to me, but he doesn't explain anything. He just come out and make broad statements. But he hasn't been held accountable for what he's saying. But he can't explain what he's saying. He's saying they had errors. I mean, who was the PSYOPs officers doing this for them in the legal world? I mean, what you mean? You have to explain that. He can't just come and make these kind of statements, and then there's no explanation. I didn't even finish read it because
I appreciate that.
It makes no sense. Somebody can read it. It's in the Tribune or the Guardian, one of them.
All right. Thank you
very much. You want to squeeze this next caller in and then finish this
headline? Yeah, no problem.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear it?
Mary, Aaron Green.
Morning.
This is thinking goes to jungle. I can talk with John Kulu and Nuri ready, right? But there's a song I'd like to sing for the Prime Minister for 2 seconds, if you all don't mind.
Do the 2 seconds.
Listen, don't make it one of them songs now.
Okay. Round of applause, standing ovation. You look so dumb right now.
Sorry, you gotta cut your mouth. You don't talk about your Prime Minister like that. Audacity, man.
And I was, one of them songs.
And I was waiting to see how the song going to know. Read the headline with you up there. And I mean,
man, look here. I buck one by name Pat Rule yesterday, right? Uh-huh. And he said, man, look here. I waking on a song. He just gave me a little piece of the lyrics. And it was for me in my heart. And he said, you got to compliment before you criticize. Mm. That's a little piece of the lyric.
I'm going back to John now and coming back forward, right? The flippancy on the how we speak toward this word, the office of the Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the letter written by Dion Miller.
Yeah.
And the verbiage he used writing to the office of the Prime Minister in reflection of the Prime Minister himself. I said, the audacity. You don't talk to the office of the Prime Minister any kind of way. The disregard, the disrespect.
I'm not going to thing, yeah. But see, here's the problem. That's why I keep telling these people, if you make a mockery of the Constitution by insisting that there's an office of the DPM that the Constitution did not provide for,
we're talking about the Prime Minister.
Then you create the environment in which people make a mockery of the same things. You make a mockery of...
I don't like it. Read that.
I don't like it either, but then here we are paying for the trinkets of a DPM. Mm-hmm. 6 members of the opposition were suspended in the House of Assembly this morning for the next 2 sittings. House Speaker Patricia DeVoe suspended opposition leader Michael Pintard, St. Barnabas MP Shenandoah Cartwright, leader of opposition business Adrian White, Long Island MP Adrian Gibson, East Grand Bahama MP Kwesi Thompson, and Central Grand Bahama MP Iram Lewis for 2 sittings. When the House met last Wednesday, those opposition members were forcibly removed from the House of Assembly by police officers after Cartwright threw the mace out of the window. I could be honest with you and the listening public, I would have had a completely different response to this story if I didn't see this video of some constituency meeting with the speaker being introduced to the audience with the song. With the song. I think the song is I'm a Big Deal. I'm a big deal.
She's a big deal.
See, no, that's the problem, Mr. New.
She's not a big deal?
No, she's not a big deal. Speaker is a big deal.
Yes.
And the job of enforcing the rules with impartiality is a big deal. But the person who holds the office itself is not a big deal and does not have to exist because anybody could fill the office. It is the office. And now we have people pretending to be big deals in offices that were never created by the Constitution.
I hear you.
Not me tarnishing our reputation.
We have some callers on, and thank you very much for reading that. So we have the most honorable Hubert Minnis now representing the opposition in the House. He's the lone opposition in the House.
For real?
Well, everyone else gets suspended for 2 sins. So,
listen.
He holding the fort till the fifth come. Let's go to the caller.
Just keep your shoes on, sir. Keep your shoes on.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
You cut my song off.
Again, I didn't like the song.
I can cut it again if you sing it again, sir.
I ain't going to sing it again.
Okay.
Listen, what you just say, though.
Go ahead.
Everybody is calling and saying it.
Mm-hmm.
The Prime Minister shouldn't have said that, and that's this. All I was doing was singing it.
Okay.
But anyway, let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
Let me caution the JCNP and its member, its banner member. They think they are an organized, they organized for the management of the parade, but environment, they are not. So I want to caution them, like the Attorney General cautioned some of the members, the Jonkun Group members. Yeah, you can strike, but one thing they must remember is that it is not a collective bargaining agency, the JCNP. It's all, even though it's 20 of them or more, they are all individual group members or group holders in there. It's not an organized union. They don't have a labor certificate as Junkunu unionists. So when they tell the government, I am going to boycott Junkunu, what they're saying in essence individually to the government is, I am breaking my individual contract and promise that I promised to you and the Bahamian people to go to Bay Street. And what that automatically does is they automatically fire themselves or disqualify themselves, each one of them group members. There is no negotiation process for them because the JCNP is not an official union. So if they will come back to Junkunu, see, they can put their foot in their mouth. If they will come back to Junkunu next year, all of them, and they do that, then they got to go through the same process they put in the Valley Boys through, one side, of reinstating themselves by going into the B category and then moving back to the A category. That is what they do it because they are not an officially recognized union body, even okay. though they think that's what they are.
Okay, Marvin, I appreciate that. We could interrogate that too.
I thought he was calling to say that I shouldn't use the prodigal sons in my negotiation with the JCNP and use them to prove a point mm-hmm. about the JCNP and the government. So for the prodigal sons, I want to say, hey, if I make you all feel away, let me apologize.
Okay.
This is just critical interrogation.
Let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, CA and Aaron.
Morning, morning.
I think the whole parliament needs to watch Sir Arlington Butler when he was in the chair. I mean, he's a British-trained lawyer. So when they would row, oh, Eddie Hanna could row and Cecil Waters with Norman Solomon. When he had enough, when he stand up, everybody must sit. Everybody must sit. That's the rules. But I guess by them not wearing that white judge's robe, they think they're in a barroom. When Marlon Butler stand up, Junior, now they big men. When they stand up, everybody must find a seat. But no more rules. They're not there to spend the house. They can walk out. I mean, like, no decorum no more. They did the barroom for what? That was chaos for nothing. We know why Brennan tried to mace out the speaker, because I have this good life now. And every black person who work hard get this good life because the UPP racist party was in charge. You cannot deduce what happened last week to Brennan trying to mace out. That was childish play.
Okay, thanks. Let's go to the next caller there so we can continue. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Well, this is Starkin Voice along with you and Aaron Murray.
Good morning.
What I want to say is, right, if the Junkunu brothers and sisters doesn't stand up, then they shouldn't be Junkunuers. The thing is, we doesn't get paid, okay? I'm a senior. I was Russian from I was 12, okay? And look here, I don't think nobody have the rights to take our advantage because we love Russia. Let them kill it behind. Because let me show you something. We basically go out there to amuse ourselves. But it's those people that's in authority which uses us because of the leaders to get what they want. Let them go to hell.
Okay, Bremen.
Wait, Bremen, Bremen, come on.
Before I go.
Quickly.
What I want to say, right? We as Junkunuers not going to cut any road for the youngsters to be slaves, okay?
Thank you, Bremen.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad I let you say that.
I see when a news report just came on, because I want Aaron to read that. My phone is ringing like crazy. I got to be forwarding things to Aaron.
All right, so this is from Eyewitness News. Former PM on indictment. Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis said he was informed by United States officials of a forthcoming indictment against a, quote, Bahamian public figure, close quotes, in 2020 while he served as Prime Minister. That's the title of the mm-hmm. article and then the caption under the title. And then you want me to continue reading?
Yeah, finish.
He revealed this to reporters as he questioned Davis's claims that he was blindsided by the United States indictment that exposed acts of corruption by two Bahamian law enforcement officers, while also shedding light on a, quote, high-ranking Bahamian politician, close quotes, who is alleged to have been willing to facilitate a cocaine scheme for a $2 million bribe. Again, we're reading from Eyewitness News Bahamas. Dr. Minnis again reiterated the importance of a commission of inquiry that he suggested would have brought this and more information to light.
I want you to pause there.
Yeah.
Didn't we have another prime minister who had a CIA number? Do you remember that CIA number?
No, CI.
CI? What is
1622?
It? 1622. So apparently we may have another prime minister who have a CI number?
Yeah.
And if we have...
It wouldn't be 1622 because that one's taken.
But if we have prime ministers... I'm just saying, if we have prime ministers with CI numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they won't be in the house, that's problematic. Surely that's not what's happening. I'm just saying, surely that's not what's happening. Because you can't be confessing that to the world that you have a number. But finish reading this article.
And it's a good thing nobody confessed that in this article. It's a good thing nobody confessed that here. Dr. Minnis again reiterated the importance of a commission of inquiry that he suggested would have brought this and more information to light. Minister of National Security Wayne Monroe has insisted, however, that authorities would not be able to hold individuals criminally responsible for anything they say in an inquiry. That's the end of the text in this link. The story continues as posted on the Eyewitness News Bahamas' Facebook page.
It's uneasy that the CIA and these people are sending notes to our leaders.
Let's be very careful.
What does the Eyewitness News say? Read it again. Said former PM, said what? Hold on. The United States officials, hold on, I try to find the exact thing, where he said someone sent him the information. I'm a public figure. Hold on. United States officials I'll stop for error.
Err on the side of caution. Just in case.
Let's go to the callers.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? Caller, go in once.
Good morning, caller.
Go to the next one, Kermit, for me.
Yep, here we go. Good morning, caller.
Yes, just let me say, it was supposed to be 1622. There was 24 individuals in the room, and they all caught it. Another one became prime minister. But that information is available. Just let me say, the Prime Minister also spoke to our news, and he didn't say it was the confidential informant. He said that just as it was customary informed, that they informed the Prime Minister or the Minister of National Security of any ongoing investigations within the jurisdiction of the Bahamas. And the PLP or the Prime Minister was trying to imply that this started in 2021. He says, no, I was aware. And then the Minister asked the question, why didn't they make you or your Minister of National Security and others aware? It must be mean that they did not have confidence or trust you with the information. And then I thought he was going to say, well, maybe you were the subject of the investigation. Then you go back to the former Minister of National Security. He threw hints at exactly because the word is politician at the time. At what time? Okay, good. Let's look at the House of Assembly. That means that at that particular time, it had to be one of the politicians on either side of the House.
See, Alan Johnson, you're using so many words. Hold on.
Or in the Senate.
You're using so many words at one time.
The point is, four years later, and nothing came about.
Because it's an ongoing investigation. Mm-hmm, 5 years ago. They have 5 years to finish the investigation and charge the person within 5 years of knowing the crime. That's the U.S. law. So what happens now, though, we have to ask ourselves, why is it our partner for 40 years, for the first time in our history, have not had confidence enough to share intelligence with a sitting prime minister?
I'm not going to allow you to speculate against my
government. I am asking a question.
And I don't know that. But you trying to suggest that's what I'm saying, that the U.S. does not have confidence in this administration.
We have agreement with OBAT. We have an agreement with OBAT.
And they still...
And they shared 40 years of information.
And they still sharing information with us.
The prime minister himself said they don't know.
On this particular investigation... But that's okay.
On any?
That's okay. But at this present time, no member of parliament. At this present time,
See, Alan, I heard what you said, you know. Don't watch nothing. I heard what you said. We heard what you said.
At this present time, no member of parliament is being charged, investigated with this particular crime. So that's what I'm trying to say. Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, Cody. Can you hear us?
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing, Nori?
Doing well.
Okay, good afternoon, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
And good afternoon to the nation. Nori.
Hey.
Here's the biggest concern and the biggest elephant in the room that we all should be afraid of, right? We had a sitting prime minister who sat on information for almost 4 years and did not inform his colleague prime minister. When governments are continuous, when we are all bohemians, when they all sit in parliament together, he withheld that information for almost 4 years. Him and his former minister of national security.
He didn't trust him.
What do you think should happen in a situation like that?
That means that Mr. Minister just didn't trust the new prime minister.
Hold on, let me ask you a question. Do we need to get a license to speculate? No, I'm not hanging you up. I'm not hanging you up by asking you. I was just throwing a thing in there. Do you have to get a license for that much speculation?
That ain't no speculation. That's a fact. He did not inform the prime minister, Prime Minister Davis, nor did he inform Minister of National Security, Rhian Monroe. He did not inform the former commissioner of police. He's just now, as a matter of fact, he misled the Bohemian people to nothing and had nothing to say. And then he came behind 1 week later after being pressed on talk shows by people like myself. And now he's saying he was informed. What do we do with someone like that?
Don't vote
Tell
him
me,
in.
What do you think, Nuri?
I wouldn't vote him in. But
that's some treasonous behavior.
They can't call it treasonous. No, they can't call it. You can't call it sedition and thing. But no,
it's bordering,
no.
It's bordering something that
you're going
smells
too far.
Like a rat.
You're going too far.
It's bordering something
that smells like a rat. I appreciate your concern. And perhaps the media now need to pose questions and perhaps there needs to be some kind of analysis on what are the proper protocols, what should happen, and where to go.
But that's what we need to have a commission on. Anyway, thank you for the opportunity, Nuri. God bless.
That's absolutely. Right. Listen, Nuri, this time I sit here, I was like, wow, because I'm sitting here thinking, it could be that when the prime minister says, or when people from the Davis administration or the PLP party suggest that what happened in the house with the mace was orchestrated, I'm actually believing them. But I believe that it went, because orchestrated means everybody was involved. See, planned means the deaf and then planned it. Orchestrated suggests something totally different. And I believe they're being truthful. And I believe that it was orchestrated.
You and your conspiracy.
And what a beautiful distraction.
Let's go to the next one.
What a beautiful distraction. Calling people unhinged. Hold on. While we're calling the FNM leadership, I come in right now, call her unhinged, which is a personal attack on the leader of the FNM.
Let's go to this
whole thing orchestrated.
Go ahead, Cody. Can you hear me? Call her once. Press a button there. Nothing? Oh, they're gone. Oh, well. Anyway. It's now 11:59. So many things to unpack. We're going to talk about what the former prime minister said again. Hopefully we get some guidance regarding that. We will talk about all of these press releases by the police, Royal Bahamas Police Force, Royal Bahamas Defense Force, and their interdiction. And what does it mean? What was the reason why they've been interdicted? We're going to speak about that. We're going to talk about Junkanoo again in terms of about if they decide to withdraw their services, are they breaching their contract with the government? Therefore, they terminate their services. There's no longer the JCNP because they're breaching their contract. They need to form a new one, right? Should the, what a place name? The next JNP? The
BNBJ, Bahamas Junkanoo Commission.
Should they brace themselves to host this Junkanoo event, right? What should be happening? I said we need to have a Goombe concert downtown. But the Junkanoos are prepared to rush. They saying, man, they spend their money. And if there can't be no cancellation, if the JCNP will hold their services, that's them. But the rest of the groups, they rushing no matter what.
You know how much
cookout, so Junkanoo will go on.
You know how much cookout you have to host a private Junkanoo?
Can you imagine?
Ain't enough cookout.
Especially if you got to pay for security from the police force, from Bahamas Electricity, BEC. Especially if you have to pay for all these logistics. Anyway. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We can talk about this again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.